pleasure to welcome you to our first Florida Christian Education Seminar, Truth in Education, Preserving Liberty Through Biblical Worldview Education. We're grateful that you have chosen to join us today, that you've given up a day to be with us. I would like to ask my husband, Tim, to open us up with prayer.
Let me pray. Dear God, first off, we just want to thank you and acknowledge you, Father, for who you are, how you're at work in our lives. Dear God, we believe you're in control of every single thing that happens. We believe that this meeting today is by divine appointment, dear God, and no one is here by accident, Lord, that you have a purpose for each one of us. And Father, I just ask that that purpose would be fulfilled in our lives. Father, thank you for those that are presenting, Lord, for the organization that went into this. We just pray for wisdom and clarity for the speakers. Dear God, we just pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to be impacted, Lord, individually and collectively, and to leave here to further impact our world in a way that would be significant for the kingdom. So thank you for this time together. Thank you for the church that provided this. Lord, this is your time. We thank you for it, and we give this to you. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Tim. Again, my name is Roxana Dickerson, and I'll be your hostess today. For those of you who are coming in, just have a seat anywhere, and thank you for joining us. I'm a high school teacher at the Classical School of the First Academy, a two-day hybrid homeschool program. I also teach at Libertas Scholars, a homeschool co-op, and I'm relatively new to the field of education. This is my third career. I just started subbing at TFA 8 years ago, last month. And my husband knew how much I loved teaching. He had seen me over the years prepare for Bible studies, and he knows that I love to research, I love to learn. I mean, if I could be in a classroom for the rest of my life, that would be heaven. So he encouraged me over the years to apply at TFA. I'm like, they'll never hire me. I don't have any experience. So finally, he convinced me when a substitute position became available. And I thought, okay, I'll do it. And if I like it, then I'll pursue a career in teaching. And I did like it. And I did go on to train and develop and became a teacher at the classical school, which is perfect. I teach 2 days a week, and then I have time to learn the other 3 days, what I'm teaching. So providentially, at about the same time, my friend Terry Starcher, who is not here yet, she'll be here, she invited me to join her in a course called Rudiments of America's Christian History and Government. It was a 12-week course on CD, taught by Ruth Smith of the Pilgrim Institute. I highly recommend this course. And I had two amazing mentors, and I'm getting choked up because one of them is here, and I didn't know she was going to be here. Penny Paquette and Jacqueline Husabo, and they led us through the course as we listened to the lectures. And it was such an impactful time in my life because I really got to learn about the providential hand of God and how he works in every detail of our lives. And they showed us how a biblical classical education helped to bring about our self-governing constitutional republic, the first of its kind in the history of the world. It was the most amazing course I had taken outside of a Bible study class. But really, it was a Bible study class because the Bible was at the center of everything that we were learning. The Rudiments course ignited a fire in my heart that is still burning today. It's been an incredible journey filled with many learning opportunities that are helping me to become a stronger and more effective teacher. Much of what I have learned over the last few years you will hear today, albeit in condensed form, including from Dixie Thompson, who has been my education mentor for the last 7 years. I hope and pray that your heart will be encouraged and that you will be inspired to fulfill whatever purpose in education God has for you. Whether you're a teacher, you know, everybody is a teacher. People are watching you, especially the little ones, and even young adults. They want answers, and they want you to model to them reality. So we are teachers in every sphere of life. So you will learn today why that matters, how you can do it effectively. For me, teaching students in a school setting and helping them fulfill their God-ordained purpose is a rewarding calling that I hope to continue in for many more years. As you can see in the agenda you received this morning, we have a wonderful seminar planned for you with outstanding speakers from various organizations who share a common mission to promote and establish biblical worldview education across our communities, our states, and our nation. I would like to thank all the speakers in advance and give a big shout out to Dan Smithwick of the Nehemiah Institute for putting together this great event. The Truth in Education Seminar is the first of what we hope will be many events in the future. Our main purpose is to inform, to encourage, and equip all those whose hearts beat for education. And speaking of education, how many of you have heard of Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary? Oh, wonderful. See, I'm sure you're familiar with this. All right. He defines education as the bringing up as of a child, instruction, formation of manners. Education comprehends all that series of instruction and discipline which is intended to enlighten the understanding, correct the temper, form the manners and habits of youth, and fit them for usefulness in their future stations. And an immense responsibility rests on parents and guardians, and I would add aunts and uncles and grandparents, everybody who neglect these duties. By way of contrast, a popular modern dictionary defines education as the action or process of educating or of being educated. The knowledge and development resulting from an educational process. That's a dud. In his excellent guide, How to Establish a Christian Education, a Christian School to Restore the Republic, Dr. Max Lyons, Director of Teaching Services at the Foundation for American Christian Education, writes, quote, Webster's emphasis in education is upon the development of character. He says that education is the series of instruction and discipline. The root word for discipline is disciple. Educators are discipling children. Christian educators are discipling them for Christ. Notice also that education is intended to correct the temper and form manners and habits. This is character development. Educators used to consider this the most important aspect of their work. I know I do. Continuing, Webster taught that the purpose of education was to fit children for usefulness in their future stations. Christian educators are preparing our children to fulfill whatever calling God has upon their lives so that they can be productive, do their part in helping fulfill the Great Commission, and ultimately bring glory to God. Contrast this with typical goals for education today. The beauty of Webster's 1828 dictionary is its definitions are precise and conform to God's truth. They align with objective reality, something that is sorely lacking in today's ambiguous and ever-changing definitions. The chart on the screen comes from a lecture delivered by Dr. Kira Adams, the president of FACE, Foundation for American Christian Education. Do you see the definition of education? Do you see how the definition of education lines up beautifully with 2 Timothy 3:16? To enlighten the understanding involves the teaching, learning, and acquiring of knowledge of Christian doctrine. To correct the temper requires reproof. To form the manners and habits of youth necessitates instruction in righteousness, all with the goal of being to fit them for usefulness in their future station, so that the man of God may be perfect, which means complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Does that not make your heart beat faster with excitement? Education truly is about discipleship and building godly character for the glory of God and the building of his kingdom. Well, that's the good news. However, we're all here because there is a very serious problem in our nation, and we believe that it involves education. It is heartbreaking, and can seem overwhelming to face such a seemingly insurmountable threat. However, we must remember that we belong to the great I Am, who spoke the world into existence and still holds it together. He who creates sustains. So keep that in mind as we quickly look at some sovereign statistics and recent headlines. What is the state of our nation today? Sadly, we're losing our young people in increasing numbers. In a 2019 Barna study, 64% of adults ages 18 through 29 stated that they were church dropouts. That is a stunning figure. Let's take a look at the four different kinds of exiles that they identified. The first one on the top left are the prodigals. They comprise 22% of those exiles. They no longer identify as Christian. They may have attended a church, a Protestant or Catholic church, as a child or as a teen, and they may have considered themselves to be Christian at some point in their life. Next are the nomads. They comprise 30% of the exiles. They identify themselves as Christian. They haven't attended church during the past month, and the majority haven't even been involved with a faith community for 6 months or more. Then you have the habitual churchgoers. They comprise 38%. They describe themselves as Christian. They have attended church at least once in the past month. However, they don't have foundational core beliefs or behaviors associated with being an intentional, engaged disciple. And last, we have the resilient disciples. They only comprise 10% of the exiles. They attend church at least monthly. They engage with their church more than just attending worship services. They trust firmly in the authority of the Bible. They're committed to Jesus personally and affirm he was crucified and raised from the dead to conquer sin and death. And they express a desire to transform the broader society as an outcome of their faith. How did we ever get to this point where only a small minority are resilient disciples? Well, our position is that we can trace the source of the problem back to education. It has been a long, relentless march, which our speakers will explain in detail. But let's quickly look at some of the recent headlines in education. And please tell me if these ideas don't have a devastating impact on our youth and their faith. The first example is a story that appeared in the Tucker Carlson Show back in September. And it described a curriculum being taught throughout the Buffalo school system from PK to 12th grade that integrates the guiding principles of the Black Lives Matter organization. Among the various lessons that are antithetical to Christianity, we have here a lesson calling into question the nuclear family. Let's take a closer look. In this particular lesson for fifth graders, note that the various aspects of Black Lives Matter have specific New York standards the lesson seeks to meet. Does Common Core come to mind? For those of us who've taught in a classroom, this is quite a structured lesson plan. Look at the box on the right, which I have enlarged from the lesson plan on the left. At the top is New York State's Social Studies Standard 5.6, which says, across time and place, different groups of people in the Western Hemisphere have struggled and fought for equality and civil rights for sovereignty. Right below the standard are the Black Lives Matter guiding principles and instruction to, quote, discuss these principles and have the students talk about how they connect to them. What are those principles? Black villages, collective value, love and engagement, restorative justice. Let's look at each one. Black villages is the disruption of Western nuclear family dynamics and a return to the collective village that takes care of each other. Can you figure out what that means? That means everybody can raise your child. No more dads, no more moms. Collective value means that all Black lives, regardless of actual or perceived sexual identity, gender expression, economic status, ability, disability, religious beliefs or disbeliefs, immigration status, or location, matter. Well, I believe all lives matter. but they put it certain categories to qualify it. Loving engagement is the commitment to practice justice, liberation, and peace. What in the world do they mean by liberation? In Christ, we have freedom and liberty, only in Christ, not through some curriculum that's going to teach things that are contrary to Scripture. Restorative justice is the commitment to build a beloved and loving community that is sustainable and growing. So are they saying that any biblical family modeled unit does not provide restoration, is not restorative? So most of the other lesson plans in the curriculum have specific goals and objectives. Look around at our culture today, and do we not see young people who have learned these lessons well? This next story completely goes off the rails and happens far too often. The leaders of Superior Elementary School in Boulder Valley School District in Colorado have turned a deaf ear to parents' wishes to opt out from exposing their six-year-olds to lessons on transgenderism that included a video from Queer Kids Stuff and a stage play about transgenderism promoting acceptance and inclusivity. That's heavy stuff, y'all. We have some more shocking headlines. You might not be able to read this, so I'll just pull, but wait, there's more. Here's a sample of news headlines dealing with bullying, school violence, gender neutrality, hormone therapy, and many examples of government schools usurping the authority of parents. For example, principal ousted from out-of-control high school where kids threatened staff. Wisconsin school district sued by parents over a policy allowing children to use new gender pronouns and names. New California law allows children to get transgender treatments without parental consent. Student has brain damage after bullying incident caught on video, lawsuit says. How do we as a body of Christ combat these assaults on the minds of our young children? How do we equip them to stand strong and hold fast to biblical truth? These assaults didn't just happen overnight. They were planned long ago, over 100 years ago, as Marxists developed a plan to take over Western civilization with the Christian church being a primary target. Antonio Gramsci, an Italian philosopher and founder of Italy's Communist Party, who is also considered the godfather of cultural Marxism as he sought to put communists in respectable business suits rather than have them be revolutionaries with weapons, said this, quote, "Socialism is precisely the religion that must overwhelm Christianity. In the new order, socialism will triumph by first capturing the culture via infiltration of schools, universities, churches, and the media by transforming the consciousness of society." End of quote. Interesting how schools are mentioned first in capturing the culture via infiltration. Is there any doubt the mission has been successfully accomplished? Is it game over? No, we don't think so. That's why we're here. As I stated previously, those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ belong to the great I am. And he has placed us in a defining moment in history. We have a unique opportunity for churches, homes, and schools to come together to turn the tide through biblical classical education. Over the next few hours, you will hear how we can accomplish this by the almighty power of the great I am. It is my honor now and pleasure to introduce to you our first speaker, my dear friend, Dan Smithwick. Hold on 1 second. My bios are not in my iPad.
They don't need
bios. No. Sorry about that. Okay. Always good to have paper. I edited something and I replaced it in my iPad. I didn't realize that I replaced it with the older version and not the newer one. Okay, Dan Smithwick, after serving honorably with the United States Air Force as a, can't even say this, cryptology specialist and a successful career in upper level management, including 20 years with AT&T, Dan Smithwick founded the Nehemiah Institute in 1986. A nonprofit ministry providing biblical worldview training and worldview assessment programs for use by Christian educators, students, families, and churches. Through the Institute, Dan authored the Pierce Test, a worldview assessment program designed to reveal an individual's worldview on politics, economics, education, religion, and social issues. That's what Pierce stands for. The Pierce Test and Nehemiah's worldview training materials have received critical acclaim and support from high-profile organizations such as Focus on the Family, Christian Film and Television Commission, Answers in Genesis, and the Foundation for American Christian Education, the Colson Center, and Christian Broadcasting Network. As president of Nehemiah Institute, Dan's work is focused on developing new products, reaching a broader audience with Nehemiah's biblical worldview assessment programs and training materials, establishing positive relationships with the media, and assisting Christian educators and students with worldview training programs. In 1997, Dan authored the groundbreaking study course Pillars, and in 1998, he contributed to the MediaWise family with Ted Baer, president of the Christian Film and Television Commission. As a recognized expert on worldview training and assessment, Dan has made many radio guest appearances, including Point of View, Issues in Education, Southwest Radio Church, and Reasons for Faith. In addition to his business career and ministry work, Dan has been an active voice in Christian education for over 30 years, serving as board member of several Christian schools, as well as teaching in a private school. Dan also serves on the Executive Council of the Coalition on Revival Ministries, a ministry providing world-class theological studies for churches and Christian education institutions, and is also a member of the steering committee for its sister organization, the International Church Council Project. Dan currently resides in Winter Garden and Sarasota with his lovely wife, Jean. Oh, there she is. Okay.
Good morning. Well, let's see, we have to change this out to a different one. Well, good morning again to all of you. I share and echo all of Roxana's statements about the importance of dealing with education. I also want to repeat what she said, that we intend for this to be the first of several of these kinds of seminars